some price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees and pray.
What's happening, everybody? Been a minute, It's your boy Chef Blum coming back at you live right here. Blog Talk Radio, Central Radio, TuneIn FM, Apple Podcasts, Smoke Signal, Carrier Pigeon, wherever you're looking, you can find me, that's for sure. Been a few minutes. I apologize for the delay coming back. I had to take a little breather, a little hiatus, if you will, for work. Work, that's just the way it goes. Sometimes it happens, and work has been crazy, but most of you know it's been very, very well for me. I am shooting a television show, and we air every Friday, and it's become a lot of work, but fun, and there's no complaining here, trust me, coming from me, and of course, working out in Montauk all summer long. How are you? What's going on with you guys? I hope this this radio program finds you well, finds you happy, finds you healthy. You're having a great summer. I hope that's the case. I hope you're enjoying a cocktail here on a Monday night. Maybe it's your Monday night off. Maybe it's your early home from work night, Monday night, or maybe you're checking this program out Tuesday morning while you're getting ready for work or going on the line. Either way, I hope you have a great day. And I appreciate you guys taking a little time and checking out this program. It means the world to me. So I've missed it tremendously. Also, you guys, just because I don't say it enough, and I hate to be that guy who's shilling and saying things, but if you haven't done so yet, go on the old Apple iTunes podcast gimmick, Schnabitz Furnum. And rate, review, and subscribe if you don't already. We do this podcast free for you every week. And if you subscribe to it, if you rate it, if you review it, it does wonders for a lot of things. So please, if you have a second, go on and do that. We greatly appreciate it. Tonight, got a fun show. I'm not going to lie. It's going to be a fun show tonight. We have the modern mentalist, the one only Kevin Nichols is going to be on. Let me tell you something about Kevin. I met him a couple weeks ago, hanging out at Montauk Brewing Company. He was there and hanging out, and I just kind of happened to, we just kind of started talking, and he's a really, really cool guy, and honestly, I wanted to have him on the show tonight because what he does is so similar to what we do as chefs. Like, it's all a show, it's all a gimmick, it's all, you know, entertaining people and making people happy, and that's what he does, and he does it very, very well. The guy kind of freaked me out a couple of times. So what he does, you know, if you guys don't know, he's a wizard. He's a wizard. No, I'm kidding. He's a magician, a mentalist, if you will. He's going to perform I don't like the word trick. What do we use? He's going to perform one of his things on the air tonight, which should be pretty cool. He asked me to lay out a bunch of items. We'll get to that in a minute. I'm sure he'll talk more about it. But before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about what's on my mind and what's chapping my ass right now, because there's something that is tremendously. And you know, I like to use this form as I step on my soapbox and grab my microphone. That makes me an expert, which we've covered in this show many, many times. If you have a microphone, you're an expert. Or at least that's what I like to think about. Maybe it's not totally right, but whatever the case is, it makes me think that I'm an expert. So an article came out very, very recently, and our good friend Chef Chad Minton from True Cooks posted the article on his Facebook page. It was posted by the New York Times. A bunch of culinary students at the CIA, Culinary Institute of America, my alma mater, took some time out of their normal day. And, oh wait, did someone say they're one of them? Yeah, I gotta fucking talk to that kid. Anyway, took some time out of their day. Left their classes, which is an absolute no-no at CIA. And CIA, for those of you who don't know, at least when I was there, was probably one of the closest things to boot camp I've ever been in my life. You're told where to be, when to be there, what to eat, what to wear, showered, shaven, ready to go. And the answer is always yes, chef. No questions asked, no gimmicks, no, I'm late because of, nobody cares. You're to be where you're told to be when you're told to be there. And that's why it's so important because it teaches respect for the business, because this business is all about respect, and you guys all know that, man. It's respect. You have to respect it. And, you know, one of the things I say all the time is you'll never know where you're going if you don't know where you came from. And people have their thoughts about culinary schools and things like that. But I'm telling you, my thought is you get out of it what you put into it. And for me, culinary school was desperately needed at that time in my life. It put me on the right track in my life, and it got me out of a very bad situation. So I'm a big fan of it. Is it necessary? No, definitely not necessary. But does it help? Tremendously. I believe that. Now, what you got to understand is that you don't come out of culinary school a chef. You don't come out of culinary school and you're really better than anybody else. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When you're in culinary school, you learn the basics. You learn the background. I had 10 years of experience before I went to school. But you learn the background of things. You learn to understand the business. You learn the history. You learn where it came from. And we said a second ago, you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you came from. So basically, these students walked out to protest what they called a weakening enforcement of educational standards, including a requirement that applicants have experience in a professional kitchen. Now, you may think that sounds weird. If you're going to culinary school, you're going to learn. Why do you need to have experience? Well, it's important because you need to have experience, because you need to know what you're getting into before you get there. You need to understand it. My group started off with about 80 people, 37 of us finished. They weed you out on purpose. So they have a bachelor program and they have an associate's program at CIA. All degrees, you get a degree. Not a certificate, none of that bullshit. It's an accredited college. You get a degree. A couple things that some of the kids here are angry about. One of the kids mentioned that he said that even though when he leaves the school, he's going to owe $87,000. Well, that seems a little excessive. That means you didn't do your due diligence going in and get scholarships. I had to. No one paid for me to go. I had to get financial aid and make it happen. I'm still paying for it. But guess what? It's college. That's what you do. No one's making you go there. No one's making you have to be there. You can go anywhere you want and do anything you want. They're saying that they get out of culinary school, and they don't have money to afford their tuition bills. Well, again, you know what you're getting into before you get into it. That's why you need to be having more experience in the business. Listen, you can have a degree, but what we do as chefs, we are laborers. We work with our hands. That's what we do. And in doing that, it's a profession where you excel by proving it. That's what it is. You have to prove it. And in proving it is working with your hands. You have to do the job. You have to be good at the job. The only way to get good at the job is to learn more about the job. Learn the history of the job, i.e., where did you come from? If you don't know where you came from, you'll never know where you're going. One thing CIA is really good about is teaching you where you came from. They're good about that. These kids basically walked out. They're complaining about that. They're showing they got a little angry because they only had 90 of them, which again kind of is funny because I think they probably thought they were going to get more, but the New York Times still wrote an article about this, which is hysterical to me. But what else is funny is that it's okay to listen. They said they described as slipping academic requirements, shoddy equipment, and too cozy relationship with the corporate food world. Here's the thing, you guys. This school operates on those corporations who make it possible. Trust me, your tuition isn't going to fully pay for it. It doesn't work that way. The chefs there are very, very good. They make a lot of money, as they should. So they make money. So those corporations have to be a part of it to help pay for that. That's called sponsorship. And you learn more about that when you work by yourself. You learn more about that. But, you know, they talk about the lack of off-hours options in a cafeteria. Are you kidding me? Like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. You go to one of the best culinary schools on the planet. When I was there, yes, off-hours, you go to a cafeteria. Or just go to one of the classes and fucking eat. No one's going to turn you away. It just drives me nuts, man. It drives me apeshit. I think that we live in a world now where kids think things should be handed to them. I graduated culinary school and I worked my ass off. And I'm still working my ass off, but I'm doing what I love to do. If you don't love to do this profession, get out. It's that simple. Get out. We don't want you. We don't need you. You don't need to be here because all you're going to do is fail at it. You're going to fail. You're not going to do good. You're not going to come out and become the best chef ever. Just because you went to culinary school doesn't mean the Food Network's going to pay attention to you. I see a lot of that these days, too. You have to be good at what you do. And when you pay money to go to a school, and instead of taking advantage of that opportunity, which so many thousands of people would love to have, you're going to leave and protest because you don't like the food in the cafeteria. You think the long hours are too much. Come on. You have shoddy equipment. First of all, when I was there, nothing was shoddy. It was all fucking awesome. But if it is shoddy, guess what? Welcome to working in the restaurant business. I was just at a premier hotel today, a Curio Collection hotel from Hilton. It has 34 rooms. It is incredibly high end. And the chef is still having to blow on the pilot lights to get the stove to light. That's just the way it goes in this business, man. That's just the way it goes. Like, there's no changing it. Do your work. Learn where you came from. That's the only way you'll figure out where you're going. That's what's on my mind tonight, you guys. That's what's been chapping my ass a little bit. That is what's keeping my knife sharp. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we got an amazing show. We've got the one and only modern mentalist Kevin Nicholas going to be on with us. He's awesome. Can't wait to talk to him. And I'm going to show you how similar we are as culinarians to someone like Kevin, who is he's a hustler, much like me, much like other of you in this business. So let me talk to him. I see him on hold right now. Let me get him all set up. In the meantime, I'm going to play a jam, and we'll be right back here for this, guys. I'll play Seasons by Chris Cornell off the single soundtrack, one of my favorite songs. I'm actually working on it on my guitar right now, so I've always wanted to learn how to play it. So let's play that jam, and we'll be right back. You're checking out Plumbo Foods Live right here, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, fucking Blog Talk Radio, on iTunes, everywhere else on the planet you find your on-demand entertainment. That's what we are. Check it out. Here's Seasons by Chris Cornell. We'll be right back, guys. Stay right there.
Seasons roll on by.
Oh, yeah. Coming back live right here. Plum Love Foods Live, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn FM, every place else. I got to stop saying all that nonsense. You get it. You know where you're coming from. You know what you're listening on. I just checked in with Kevin right there. He's on hold, the modern mentalist, Kevin Nicholas. This guy, he's raging after what I just said on my my open there, because it's so amazing how similar businesses are to chefs, to cooks, and everything else. It's so similar. And you know, it's hard work. That's how you do it, man. It's hard work. It's the hustle. It's the fighting to get there. Because anybody who got anything worthwhile didn't get it for free. They worked really hard for it. And I'm telling you right now, my man, the modern mentalist, Kevin Nicholas, is the same thing. Brother, good evening. How are you, bro?
What's going on?
Oh, man, just getting off my soapbox here I had there for a minute. I was getting angry.
Oh, dude. I was just, as we were just talking, man, it's so true, though. You really, like, if people are bitching and moaning and complaining about stuff like that, like, listen, we all go through our moments where, like, this sucks, or, you know, we feel like we're not getting what we're getting. But at the end of the day, you still have to get it done. And, you know, and this is what you signed up for. Maybe, you know, like people
right.
going to the military, it's like that's what they do. Like, trust me, I'm not prepared to go into battle. You know, you need to be, in a sense, to have your foundation. You know, people forget you need your foundation before you can build the house. You know,
there you go. Exactly what I was saying before. I live by it, man. You got to know where you came from to know where you're going. It's just, that's the way it works.
And it's not the pretty side. It's not the funness. This is the dirt, you know, this is the, and it's not, you're not even in the grind yet. You don't like, you don't even have, like, right now the soil's not even on the floor right now. They're like,
right.
You know, and I'm sure you understand. It's like, you need the architect before you can even hit. And then before you even do that, then you need the permits. Like, it's a process of everything.
Yeah.
I didn't wake up with, you know, a deck of cards in my hand and was like being able to do what I do now, you know?
Right. I think living through those things are what's important. Like, or I had a time in my life before I went to school where I was a line cook at a restaurant where I couldn't afford to pay the rent. Pay the heating bill. So we paid the rent, had no money, heat gets shut off. Bro, I'm turning the oven on, opening the oven to let some heat into the living room. That's just, I mean, but those are things that help you grow as a person. Not worrying about how much something costs at the cafeteria. Go fuck yourself. Like, what are you talking about? You know?
Well, as I said to you, you guys are chefs. They should, like, at least know how to cook them. Like, you know, and, like, for me, it's like, I'm one of those people that are like, I am the guy that, like, buys, you know, my food. Because, I think I'm just too lazy to cook. I just started getting into, like, things. Like, I do my, like, late night, like, you know, shishito peppers at, like, 12 o'clock at night. And to me, that's, like,
delicious.
Like, yeah, which is great. You know, a little cracked pepper, just looks like, you know, like little you know, crushed sea salt. Great. I made like a fine dining experience for myself. But, you know, that's when your passion is, you should just be like, yo, dude, look what I made today. Let's check this out.
Now, let me ask you, you know? Couldn't you just use some of your wizardry and make some food happen in front of you?
Honestly, if I had the one thing I hear more than anything, I get two questions asked for me all the time. One is, you know, can you give me the Powerball numbers or can you give me the lottery numbers? If I can do that, trust me, my car would be a lot different, you know.
And what's the second one?
And the second one is always, can you make, you know, all the guys come up to me and be like, yo, can you make my wife disappear? And I literally look, and most of the time their wives are right there. So over time, I'm like, I need a good answer for this. So I literally look.
Well, here's your answer.
I literally say to the woman, I go, where do you want to go? He's paying. So.
I think your other answer should be like, if she's an attractive woman, you should look at her and go, yes, trust me, by the end of the night, she'll disappear and she's in your hotel room. There you go.
Yeah, it's, you know, trust me, guys, I will say that, you know, before I met my better half, like, it was, you know, people say, how do you get, you know, and it's not technically the, you know, it's not completely false, but people go, how did you get started in this? And I was like, I got fucking cut from the baseball team. I needed a way to meet girls, you know, like,
nice.
You know,
I'm with
you know, and for me, I was I was a lot different than most magicians. Most magicians, and it's nothing wrong with it, but they, most magicians, when you meet them, are quite introverted. They have a quite introverted personality, you know, and they use magic kind of to express themselves or to be a little more social. I was the opposite. I was a bit of the class clown. I was a bit more of the athlete cocky mentality. So for me, I kind of already had my focus of the way that, you know, this is who I am, and that kind of pursued that, it kind of came off, and that's what came off when I performed. And I think it became a little more, so for me, it didn't matter who I was entertaining. If somebody was like, oh, I don't want to see that, I'm like, shut the heck up, man. Go check this out. This is dope. You know, and they'd be like, all right. And then the fact that I'm good, you know, don't get me wrong, talent does come with what we do. At the end of it, you know, you need, there is a sense of talent. It's what separates, you know, people that are good from you know, the not so good, you know. And
of course.
It didn't come overnight. You know, I got better, but at the same time, I also started later. And we'll get into that when, you know, I'll tell you about how I really got started in magic, because I didn't start at like 8, 9 years old. I actually
You were 13, right?
I was 13. I was 40. I was already a teenager. So for me,
listen, before we get into that, I want to ask you, how do you describe what it is that you do? Like how would you describe yourself as the modern mentalist? I love that. That's an awesome like band name for sure, or at least an album. How do you describe what you do and what like your style of magic? Just kind of give an overview so people can kind of understand what it was. Because you know, I met you hanging out at a brewery, and then we just started talking and kind of hit it off. Having a great conversation. Next thing I know, you're making shit disappear, and I'm like, "What the fuck? That was awesome."
Even my dog does magic tricks. You know, it's.
I know. Like I told him. I've been telling everybody. I'm like, his dog brought my card to me.
Yeah, it literally. That honestly was an accident when I figured out that I could actually do that, and I was like, "This is the greatest thing ever." That.
But explain what it is. How do you describe yourself?
So for me. For many, many years, I was just a full magician, you know, like card tricks, everything like that. And then this TV show, The Mentalist, came out. And I never even watched it. But people would be like, oh, are you like a magician or are you a mentalist? And this word mentalism, you know, mentalism has always been around in magic, but most people didn't technically call themselves mentalists. It was either like you're a magician, you're an illusionist. And, and I don't care what anyone says, 5 years ago, every mentalist today was called themselves a magician. Now mentalists are, it's like the sexy word, you know, it's the sexy word of the time. And at the same time, when you change your name like that, you're not called to do kid shows anymore. You don't get hired to do kid shows when you're a mentalist. It kind of puts you in a different, you know, it kind of changes things up. People go, oh, okay, oh, we want a magician. Adults say, oh, we got to get a mentalist for our party, you know? And so it's, and I'm sure you're familiar with guys like Gary Vee and stuff like that. I'm sure, you know, these, you know, really cool social media guys. Well,
I love those guys. Those guys are great. I was a giant fan of stuff growing up as a kid. Like I loved it. Like I remember getting my first magic kit when I was like 8 years old, and you know, I don't know. I didn't have the dexterity for it, I guess. I always thought it was just super cool. And I mean, what a great icebreaker just to have. I don't know. I think it's what you do is really, really cool to me. And that's why I think it's just, you know, I've always been a big fan of it. And, you know, even guys like, some of the more modern guys I think of, I get heat for it, but I've always thought Chris Angel was awesome. I mean, people fucking hate the guy or whatever. I think he was pretty cool, at least the stuff he was doing. Like, I get it. You got to understand, going into it, it's a gimmick. Like, you got to know that. You don't go over there and go, oh, he's really doing this magic stuff. No, it's a fucking gimmick, but it's cool. It's fucking cool to trick the mind like that.
Whether magicians want to hate him or not, the guy did over 100 episodes of his A&E special. Made
national TV.
You know, national TV, signed a $200 million whatever contract with Circus Soleil.
In Vegas. Oh, no.
In Vegas. And to be honest, and, you know, it's nothing against it.
Doing card tricks.
Yeah. I mean, he started off as like a Long Island kid that was, you know, he wanted to be a rock star. That's what it was. And the truth is, he wanted to be a rock star. And you know what? He realized that magic was a better, in a sense, gimmick for him. And it worked. He came at a time when he wasn't even considered, he wasn't even called Chris Angel. He used to call himself Angel. And and then somebody saw potential in him, and he booked a show in, not even in Vegas, in Times Square. And he had a show for like 2 years, and he did like three shows a night. Like, the guy did like 400. The guy's the hardest working guy, I can honestly.
He paid for the room himself. Yeah. Like, I heard a great interview with the guy. He paid for the room himself, put all his money up. He like, his parents took a second loan on the house for him so he could do this show. Yep. And then, what ended up happening was, believe it or not, the WWE, WWF at the time, actually had liked him. Vince McMahon thought he was great. And actually, when WWE had WWE New York, the restaurant, they actually had Chris Angel there. That's kind of what set the whole thing off, because he started like doing this whole thing, and they pushed him a little bit, because that's a PR machine, whether you like them or don't. It's a fucking PR machine. And the next thing you know, he's everywhere.
And that's, you know, that's what it is. The guy's making money, you know. You want to call him the, you know, in a sense, in the world of like, just use punk rock as this, you know, did he become like kind of the Green Day of that kind of situation, where he was like, yo, do it. I'm doing everything I can to make, you know, as much good magic as I can, whether or not it was, you know, if it was more, in a sense, made for TV over done live, you know. But when you do that many shows, like literally hundreds, he had hundreds of episodes. And it's not like one trick per episode. The dude was doing like a crazy stunt every show, you know. And every magician will say, yo, he's not the best magician. But guess what? At the end of the day, you don't need to be, you know, the – Look at auto-tune. It's a perfect example. You know, no need to be the best.
That's a good point, man.
An insane living doing that. And there
he's
are
done
some
well for
guys
himself,
that
man.
Are. Yeah, there are some guys that are very, you know, in my field that are very traditional. And going back to, you know, what you said about your school is like they teach you where they came from. These guys kind of study the masters, but at the same time, it's also, you know, the round, you know, you can only have so many round pegs in a round hole compared to the round peg in a square hole, as Steve Jobs always said. You know, you're going to have those misfits, and they're going to, and as you know, I'm sure, you're going to disrupt the game a little bit. And that's what actually David Blaine did.
That's
David
where I was going
Blaine
next, man.
Disrupted.
Yeah.
You know, David Blaine disrupted all of magic with his show. Because to most magicians, he had the best television special ever. And his magic that he performed on it literally is like, we looked and just went, that's like, you know, something you can get for like $10 at a magic shop. But they understood. It's not the magic, it's the reaction. And so he took the magic off him and just, they filmed the audience. And the audience's reaction went, that must be real. The audience felt their reactions, and that's what made it great. Where before then, it was, watch me on a stage, see these big boxes, you know? And it was almost
camera tricks and shit.
Yeah, and it's not even camera tricks. It was just like, oh, she must be in a box. Oh, she must do this, you know?
I want to tell you, man, what I think really set you apart from other magicians and people and mentalists and illusionists that I've seen in the past, and I've known several, and what sets you apart from everybody else is that you're not running a gimmick. You're not like, oh, magic, ooh, spooky. Like, you would do one of your acts, like you would do something, right? But then you laugh with us like it was funny as shit. Like, you didn't stare at us like, oh my God, I made it disappear into space. Like, you were a person. You know, if you watch a guy like a David Blaine, a Chris Angel, if you watch these guys do stuff, like, they'll do an act and then they act like, oh my God, spooky, like play some spooky music in the background. Instead, you were a dude. You're laughing with us. You know it's funny as shit that you just tricked everybody. Instead of being like, oh, I made it disappear into the abyss. Like, you were a person. And that's what I think sets you apart. And I think that's also one of the reasons why you get booked so often. I mean, dude, obviously you comment on both, but I mean, you get booked everywhere. Like, you were just the ESPYs, the Playboy Mansion. Like, you've done all kinds of shit.
Yeah,
I mean that as a compliment, by the way. I mean that as a compliment.
No. I know it might have sounded a compliment to me because, you know, a great magician once told me, he goes, are you a entertainer who plays a part of a magician, or are you a magician who entertains? And it had me thinking a little bit, like, you know, like, and he said to me, he goes, you know, David Blaine is a magician who entertains. You believe that what he is doing is real, that he has these powers. I am not that guy. I am, in my opinion, entertainment comes first, and the magic does come, I don't want to say it comes secondary, but it's up to the perception of the person, how they're going to take it.
I want to chime in really quick, because what you're saying is exactly the point I'm going to make here in a minute about how we're so similar. Doing what I do, I call what I do catertainment. I come out, I talk about the food, I tell stories about where it came from, I bring you closer to it, I make the food become part of your life instead of just putting it on a plate and serving it to you. I talk about it. And it's because being an entertainer is a huge part of the entire scenario of what I do and of what you do.
We romance it. That's the word. We romance what we do. And it's the story, it's the persona. My persona is this young, hip, kind of cool kid, you know, this fashionable, cool, you know, I'm 30 years old, but I look 16. It's actually fun for me sometimes because
I do.
And, you know, and so for when I do this, I'm very unthreatening. You come up and you're like, oh, kid's probably going to do like a little card trick or something. And then sure. I fucking hate you. And then I hit you hard with strong entertainment or strong magic. And you go,
it's pretty
what
fucking
the hell?
Strong.
Do another, you know? And so, and that's what I, and about 2 years ago was when the persona really changed from Kevin Nicholas magician to Kevin Nicholas modern mentalist. And it was by a guy, his name was Sean Stevenson, who's a phenomenal, phenomenal public speaker. If you guys don't know who he is, you need to look him up. They call him the 3 foot giant. And, he's this guy he's 3 feet tall. He was born with a muscular dystrophy, like, you know, his bones break very easily type thing. And, he's worked with for Bill Clinton. He's been on TED Talks with, you know, Sir Richard Branson. Like, he's like a top, like Tony Robbins is one of his mentors. And so, and like personally, so like, you know, the guy knows his stuff. And he said to me, he goes, Kevin, you know, what are you going to do? You got to set yourself apart in the sense of who you are and the name. Everybody has to kind of create your persona as you. If you use the word magician, the first thing they might think is kid magician or rabbit out of a hat. So
sure,
you need to
right.
change that. And that's, you know, and that's how I kind of started my transformation of everything that I do has to fit me, every trick I do. And, you know, now I use a lot of stuff in technology. I'm doing a lot of stuff that is, and that's where the, you know, kind of the modernness comes
in.
You did
a great cell phone thing with me, which was hysterical.
Right. Exactly. You
which
know,
I think, which by the way, I think I know, which by the way, I think I know what's up.
Okay. That's all right. But it's true. You know, you have, you know, to take somebody's cell phone and to actually unlock their PIN code, or to have somebody think about a name in their phone that you've never met, and all of a sudden, like, you know, you get it, and then you're not just saying the name, you know, you're really going into this, like, is this person not only just a friend of yours, but did you meet this person at a school? Or, you know, I do a lot of stuff for a lot of teenagers. So it's a lot, and in my community, you know, it's a big, you know, it's a big camp community. So I'll literally meet this person. I'll be like, you know, this girl's phone is her life. And I'm like, is this person a camp friend of yours? She's like, what the fuck? Like, you, how would you know that? And you go down the rabbit hole, and then you're creating these crazy emotional reactions and experiences.
Which is awesome. I love it.
You know, and so, and for me, that's what it's about. It's about for every 10 tricks that I do, or, you know, 5 tricks that I do, everybody is going to have a different one that emotionally connects with them. So some people just might've known like card tricks and they just love that. Or maybe they, yeah, like you tried to do it and you didn't have the dexterity. Well, then the card tricks might be something really special to you because you know what it takes to accomplish that.
Oh, over, yeah, man. You know, literally, how respectful was I of what you, when you were showing me stuff? Like, I think it's amazing. Like, I've studied it, like, as a kid. Like, I loved it. I thought it was the coolest shit ever. And, like, you know, some of the simple things, and you'd be amazed how simple a lot of these things actually are to do, how sleight of hand, how, you know, misdirection, how that plays a big part in it, I think, when it comes to doing it. But what do you call them? Like, I feel bad calling them tricks. Like, what do we call them?
You can call them tricks. I call them an effect. I really don't even name them. I don't really give it. When I go up to a table or something, I don't even say I'm even a magician. The first thing I do is those cards come out of my mouth.
Which is just, you know, fucked, like, up, man. Like,
yeah, it's, yeah. Like, so for me, I learned, and this will go a little bit into, you know, telling you about how I started learning magic. But yeah, so I don't give them any names. I just go, I'll go up to somebody that I meet. And if you notice, I don't start with, hey, I'm a magician, because the first thing they're going to go is do a trick. Yeah. You know, right. And it's like you become.
Well, we didn't even ask,
like,
you. We didn't ask you.
No, you didn't. Yeah,
I made a point not to ask you. I talked to you about what you did. You told us, like, oh, that's fucking great. Let's talk about it. And, you know, that's the fucking interviewer in me coming out. Like, I was like, holy shit, let's talk about this. And then you were like, well, you got a second? Let me just show you something. And it was on my dog.
You know, we were having a blast too, man. We were great. I mean, honestly, just shout out to Chris and Montauk Brewery and Vaughn and all them for what they're doing, man. They're
one of the coolest places on the planet, man. They're just, I love those guys, and they're so good. They're going to be a part of the event I was talking to you about. This is completely like inside baseball shit, but they're going to be a huge part of the event that I was telling you about.
Dude, they're a brewery that I just love. And everybody, and actually people that don't even like beer, you know, they all, you know, they'll be like, oh, I don't even like beer, but this is good. You know, yeah, and the vibes are great there. I mean, it's, you know, from to your audience, if you're not really connected to what Montauk is, you know, it's, you know, everyone knows, like, oh, it's at the end of Long Island. But there's a magic vibe that's in Montauk compared to
everywhere. Am I wrong in saying, bro, there's no days of the week?
No, there's definitely not. You go from there to get out to Montauk, you got to go through the Hamptons, and everybody knows the Hamptons as this very, you know, upscale, you know, almost like Greenwich like type of stuffy persona. But there's this 8-mile stretch of road that you go through from East Hampton into Montauk, and you, and it's like hedge fund, fishermen, contractors, workers, blue collar esque, good life.
Then nothing.
Yeah. And that's it. And that's what it is. You know, my dad lives out there. My dad's a fisherman. You know, it's like, that's his life. You know, don't get me wrong. Guy lives a good life. You know, he goes and he fishes throughout the year, and that's what he enjoys. And, you know, and that's it. You know, everybody, it's kind of like the bar Cheers, but it's like the town, everybody in the town knows your name. You know,
for sure, like, for sure. It's a great spot, and that's it. You happen to be there, and we just met over at the brewery. I should have those guys on. I've never had Vaughn on. I should have him. I had him on the TV show, but I didn't have him on the radio program. It'd be great to have him on for that. But you were there, and you said that it's okay to call them tricks and whatnot, which I get. But you started doing this when you were 13 years old. Like that's pretty late in the game for this, right? Like it's pretty like usually people start doing this when they're kids.
Yeah, I ended up seeing an infomercial, and if anyone that's listening has kids or whatever, like, oh, you know, like my son likes magic or he watches it, because right now magic's at a high, you know, on YouTube, yeah. America's Got Talent, X Factor, all these things. It's creating a great buzz in my industry.
It certainly is.
It's called Larry Anderson's Jaw Droppers. And okay. And it's like now it used to be on VHSs. Now it's you know 29 years old. I got VHSs, nothing before that, but VHS.
Yeah.
And now it's on DVD. And it's like 80 tricks. And I got my family to I found it online at that time. And I was like, I told my family, I was like, my mom, I was like, Mom, can you buy this for me? She's like, sure, why not? Okay, it's not crazy expensive. And I remember getting it and I learned every trick in like 2 days, and it's like 80 tricks. Like
wow, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, like I ate this stuff up. It was almost like I was like, I didn't leave my room. I was like watching every trick. And at that time, like if there was some, and now remember with VHS, you can't just go to a chapter. So I would like rewind it and be like back and forth, like I'm like, oh crap, there was a trick I remember, I don't know where the hell it is, type of thing.
Wait,
and
let me ask you a question really quick. So from that DVD, from that VHS tape, from that video when you were 13 years old, are there any of those tricks that you still do to this day?
There, so that's the crazy thing. Everything has a foundation, again, back to what we're
right.
saying. And so the trick or the method might be the same, but now the trick is different. We revamped it. I fit it to my thing. But there is some stuff on those tapes that you could see in my show, but just the way I perform, it just looks totally different. But, there's only so many ways to, fry an egg. But,
sure.
You can make it into different things in a sense. And so, there are things that I learned on those tapes that are still utilized, at least in a foundation sense of, oh, okay, cool. I can take that concept and change it to make it look like this.
Conceptually,
so, yes,
like you kind of use the idea there. I got it. Listen, I want to come, we're going to come right back to that, but I want to talk about something we haven't talked about yet. Before we
okay.
came on the air tonight talking, you had told me to take 5 items, put them on the bar here, and text you and tell you what the 5 items are. And I did that. Should I tell the audience like what the items are? Is that gonna? I mean, we're not gonna
yeah,
do
no,
the whole
no,
trick now or whatever it is. But I want to tell you what we put out there, and you tell me why I did it, and maybe we'll take it from there. All right?
Okay. But before we even do it though, I just said pick out 5 objects, right? I didn't tell you which items to pick out or anything like that.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Like I just said, I want you to have 5 objects on the table.
Correct.
Right. Like just have that. Cool. That I don't want them to think that there's any influence and we set this up to make this look good. And the cool thing about mentalism is that nothing is ever 100% correct. Sometimes there are ways that like that could mix up. There are like, from what you've seen me do, I can mess up. I might not get something. So
sure.
I want you to realize that we're doing this via phone. There's no, I can't force you to do anything. This is literally, it'll be full, like, free will. That's what I care about, that you know that
okay.
before we go into it. Cool.
And should I tell the audience what the items are? Is that
mm-hmm.
important or no? And I can, and
absolutely.
Obviously.
Absolutely, yeah,
hear,
yeah.
Correct.
You can tell them, you can definitely tell them, you can tell them what objects you used or what 5 objects. Yeah, let them know.
All right, so here on my deck, I put a Sharpie marker. I put a wooden bunny rabbit. Don't ask why, but that's just what I found. A lollipop, a box of tissues, puffs, complete, tissues, and a large can, a crowler, basically, from Montauk Brewing Company. You'll know what that is. Nobody else will. But basically a large beer can here
which
on the bar.
Which are phenomenal, especially that you get to take
yes,
it home with you.
Oh, it's awesome. So what's the
Oh.
plan here? Like, so these items are here. You know what they are. We're not hiding what they are. That's not got anything to do with it. So what's the gimmick here? And by the way, you said for me not to look at some things like on Instagram and social. So I haven't been on yet, so I don't know. But so
So
what's the story?
those five, so let's do this in sections. We'll do the first section right now. Okay, you
Okay.
have five objects, right?
Right.
Your left to right. It's aligned up. What is the order that they're in? So they're
All right. So
from your
yeah.
left
So
to
it's on my right side. The items are, so I have the computer in front of me, and then I have the items to my right lined up. So from my
okay.
right hand over, I have the Sharpie marker, the wooden rabbit, a lollipop, the Kleenex, and then of course the beer can.
Now, are you happy with that layout of those five? Do you want to mix them up? Do you want to change the rabbit with the lollipop? Are you happy with that order that it's in?
It's funny you should say that because I don't have an emotional connection to the way they're laid out, but maybe I should change them a little
Okay.
bit just for fun.
Because I'm gonna ask you two questions,
Okay.
and
So should I change them?
if
Should I change them now or not yet?
that's up to you. Remember, everything is free will on your part. I don't want to give you any
Okay.
influence on it. So you choose, but if you do choose to do it, just let me know what that order is.
I'm not changing anything. I'm leaving that order. The marker, the
You're gonna
rabbit,
leave
the
it in that order.
lollipop, Kleenex, and beer can. I'm leaving it just like that.
Okay. Do me a favor right now. With Now the first question out of two questions is this. The first question, both will be almost identical questions. However, the second question I ask you
Sure.
will affect the entire trick and the outcome. And you'll
Oh.
understand this when the trick is over. But if
Okay.
you could take your hands and put your right and your left hand on two of the objects right now,
Okay,
what
two
two
of
would
the
those
objects
be?
right now. All right, the rabbit and the Kleenex box.
Push them forward. Push them
All
away.
right,
Done.
they are
Okay?
away, they're out of the line.
So right now, we're now left with the Sharpie, the rabbit, and the beer.
No, I've pushed away the rabbit and the Kleenex. So I have the Sharpie, the lollipop, and the beer.
So those three are in front of you. Okay.
Yes.
So right now, out of those, do you want should we continue with the trick or should we let it play out a
No,
little bit?
let's come back to it. Let's come back to it in a few minutes. I like that. Is that cool?
Yeah, I like that idea.
All right. So you get, I want to go back to, growing up. And, so you said you were 13 years old. You got this VHS tape. You learned all 80 tricks on this VHS tape, which, by the way, I'm totally going to look up and buy. You learn
Yeah.
all of them. And then so it kind of becomes a fun thing. I'm guessing fun for family functions and things like that. You start freaking out people. You realize you can meet girls by doing this, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Actually, not in my, see the fun. So the funny thing is, I get the nickname in my high school, Magic Kevin. So it actually
Magic
kind
Kevin,
of
nice.
backfired on me. It
Oh,
backfired on
shit.
me because no girl was gonna date Magic Kevin. Hey, it's
Oh,
like, hey,
shit.
who's your boyfriend? Magic Kevin. It's like it didn't. It
Right.
was not. It was not like, I am. Like one of the Winklevoss lacrosse guys, type of guy. You just weren't doing that. So it kind of backfired. However, throughout high school, I also was a promoter, like for these teen clubs, and I would do
Okay.
magic in the clubs. And then I wasn't Magic Kevin. I was just some kid that dressed, and went to these teen club, dressed cool, whatever, and did magic. And that actually. The girls were like, "Well, he's not a dickhead. He's actually kind of cool. This is kind of, And so I was like, so in my high school, I was this almost chameleon. I was friends with everybody. I was popular, but not in the sense that you're like athlete popular. Just the whole school knew me. I was not in one particular clique. But then on the
Right.
other side, I'd go to these like teen clubs that I was a promoter at and stuff, and I was like. And I was like, at that time, like you make out with a girl, it's like, all right, good night, And I was like, I'm going. I wish this was every night. You know, I kind of wanted like my high school to be like, no, I'm not a geek. Look at the girls I'm like making out with. You know.
Sure.
And that was like pre like you know MySpace days or like Facebook days. So I couldn't. There was nothing that week I could really do.
Right.
So.
Right.
But coming back, so I learned that I really enjoyed it though. I loved it. I mean. I was the only kid in my high school that was old out to like have a deck of cards out all the time. Like my teachers knew I wasn't
the teachers
gambling
were cool,
or anything. Yeah. And then the switch came at 15 when my family, when there was a convention in Las Vegas that had the first ever, it was called the Teen Seminar. And the teen seminar was, it was like run by like Vegas's top magicians at the time. And
okay.
I was, and it was, and these were guys that were like, not only on TV, but like, I had like other VHSs of magic that I was like watching. So these guys were rock stars to me and they were going to teach
sure.
me. And when I went there, it was, they taught us business. They weren't just teaching. They were like, they, you know, they taught us how to they kind of bred us to become the next line of good entertainers, new magicians, the young blood coming out. And so,
makes
and
sense. Actually, that makes sense.
And a lot of the guys that I actually went to this seminar with over the course of 2-3 years are now the top guys in the industry. These are the guys that are on the shows, the Illusionists. These are the guys, you know, that you know, on Broadway. Like these guys, some of them have had their own TV shows. And so, you know, and from all over the country. And the next year that I went, I competed in the competition for teams, and I placed third.
Nice.
And I lost to a kid that was like a Magic Castle kid, which in my industry, the Magic Castle is like, you know, you're with every cool magician, every big real magician. You know, so they were, you know, they were surrounded by that. Another kid that was from
now. What did your family
Canada,
think about this? What did your family think? Was your family like incredibly
always,
supportive or?
Always been supportive of me. I think it was the reason that I was able to go through those hard times when I went, why am I doing this? And then I was never pushed to not have to do it. And I was never pushed like, you know, to be, they were never like, oh, do something else, you know? There were
right.
It was always like, this is what you love, just keep going, you know, you're doing the right thing. And I always felt that. And so to have that was always something good for me. And the funny thing is that at that time I still wasn't a good magician. I placed because of my personality. And that's when I learned that the magic sometimes comes second. You don't need to be the best magician, but to be the most entertaining is what's real. And so I left that convention and I started work. I walked into a restaurant in Long Island and I was on this high and I walked in and I was like, I'm going to tell you guys how I can help your business out. You know,
okay.
I'm a top class, you know, I'm one of the top team magicians in the world, which technically I kind of was because it was an international competition and stuff. And the guy was like, sure, start Friday. I'm like, oh crap. And I remember my first table. I walked up. It was a date. It was a guy and a girl, and they were on like a date. And the guy like rejected. He was like, I don't want to see this. Go away. And the girl was like, I want to see it. And apparently, you know, it was. And I just remember that was like my first table, and I did that for 4 years, 3 days a week, 5-6 hours a night. And that was my grind, my start.
Wow.
And so where most kids my age were doing one kid show a week, which I hate to say it, I suffered. You put me in front of kids. Kids are like as brutal as it is because one, they're completely honest about everything and they think differently than adults. A kid sees a trick, he goes, oh, you know, adults like, oh, it must go up your sleeve. You must have a mechanism, do this, blah, blah, blah. A kid, you know, an 8-year-old's like, it's behind your fucking hand. You know, like,
yeah.
It's like, you know, you know what
that's
I mean?
Great.
And so I was like, this is not for me. and the restaurant became a night spot after 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. So I was entertaining families at tables for the first 2 hours, 3 hours, and then I was only entertaining adults, which was like a 25 and over crowd. So the clientele.
Now at this point, are you working? Are they paying you are you working for tips? Are you working for are they giving you a nightly wage sort of thing? Or
at that time, I was making $8 an hour, and then coming home with three bills in tips.
Sure.
And that's when
that's a minute worth.
It was better than me working at Abercrombie and Fitch, which if you guys don't know what I look like, I have blonde hair, blue eyed. I look like a freaking Hollister kid, at that time. So,
it's really upsetting. It's really upsetting when you have attractive guys. It doesn't make me happy at all. I kind of want you to get hit by a bus or something mess it up a little bit.
Just a slight deformity, just enough.
Right. Just missing, your hands are kind of your gimmick, so I don't want to lose your hands, but maybe lose a foot. That might be good. Just something.
Then I throw the limp in there, and then I have another gimmick. Then I'm one leg.
Damn it.
Cool.
Yep. Damn it. Hey, let me ask you a question, man, just to get it on here, because the time is ticking down as I'm looking at it right now. But I wanted to ask you, one of my favorite acts on the planet is Penn & Teller. I just think that they are amazing in what they do and how they do it and the way it's presented. It's just so fucking funny and entertaining and amazing. In your world, do they hold up? To me, as an outsider looking into your world, someone like Penn & Teller is kind of like the pinnacle. These guys are definitely where we are in this day and age. Penn & Teller are the pinnacle of it. Now, I could be totally wrong, but when I look in and see that, they're amazing. Listen,
they have been relevant for 30 years, 25 years. There's a reason they are still relevant today in this. So the rule is this. How do you stay relevant? It's not just television. It's not just Vegas, but it's just being understanding. They're on TV shows. They stay relevant.
Dude, they get asked to come in. They get asked to come into national news shows and give their opinions on politics. I'm like, they're fucking carnies. What are you doing?
Well, that's the other thing. Penn Jillette is an absolute genius. He is
completely. Could not agree more.
He is not. He is an absolute genius. Teller is probably the Teller, which is funny because although it doesn't say a word, is probably one of the best magicians in the world who have ever lived, as well as historically, historian wise, smarter. These guys are they'll go down as the top five most intellectual and best magicians in the world that have ever lived, in my opinion.
Have you ever the chance to meet them?
I have actually. Very humble, very cool guys. When I was going to those, conventions in Vegas, we'd go to see a show, and that's how I got to, meet them, chat with them. They'd done some speeches and talks in front of the team.
We gotta get you on their show. You've seen their new show, right? Well, I forget what it's called, but it's fucking awesome.
Fool Us?
Which one is it?
I think it's called
Fool Us. Yeah, Fool Us. Fool Us. I think it's a great fucking show. I watch it on YouTube. Well, it's great fucking. We got to get you on there because I think you could fool them.
Honestly, for me, the one great thing about that show is that they respect every entertainer that goes on, whether they get fooled or not.
Yes.
They give
unless you try to bullshit them. Unless you bullshit them. Like if they never give away the gimmick, which is great. They're like, what about the right hand? And the guy's like, all right, yeah, you know what I'm doing. When the guy's like, no, that's when they fucking crush them. Then, don't fuck with those guys. They probably know what's up. So, big fans, man. I think Penn & Teller are great. It's great to hear that in the business that you're in. Yeah, they're up there. That's great.
So yes, they are pinnacle top. Honestly, to hang out with those guys is awesome. I can imagine just being an awesome experience.
Let's invite him out to Montauk. That'd be a lot of fun. They would never come, but let's invite him out. It'd be awesome.
That's just actually just a funny story. This would be a this would be a cool 30 second story. And forgive me if I'm wrong, but I believe I'm pretty sure I heard it. I'm not making this up. They used to live in the same complex of a house or two houses next to each other. And they didn't know how far between to go from one room to the other room, like to do it for like distance. So when they designed the house, they made that and they said, what should be the distance? And it would be like, how far would a call girl go from point A to point B, from one room to the other? And that's how they figured out the distance. There was something like that. And it was just, I just remember being like, I was definitely in my teens. I was definitely like 15 or 16 sure. when I heard that. I was like, that's just awful. But now as I get older, I'm like,
that's great.
That's just fucking great.
That's great. That's great. So listen, you've done a lot of big gigs, man. And you coming from, you telling your story there when you were younger and in high school. And what was your first really big gig where you're like, holy shit, look at all these famous people here?
My first ever kind of big gig was for the New York Rangers. I met somebody and he was like, yeah, we're throwing an event at this golf course. And it's like their golf outing every year. All the new guys right. and all the team goes and plays a round of golf at a golf course. And, and all of them were there. And so I met, and I just remember that being like kind of like a big deal to me because it was like, you know, the first athlete celebrities that I really, you know, I met some big DJs and stuff like that through working the club scene. But these were the first guys that like, I'm like, I watch you on television. And, and I just remember, and I remember killing it that night. I went, I can do that again. And,
it's a good feeling. And then
you know what the funny thing was? It's like, you don't want it to end. Like, you're like, oh, that was good. Now, what could I have done differently? Or how do I do it again? You know, because a lot of these events come from those moments that you handed out your business card to somebody you didn't know. And then you get a phone call 6 months later or 5 months later or, you know, and they're like, oh, yeah, I worked for the Rangers and we didn't get a chance. I thought you were great. I would love you to do this. Can you do stuff like that?
So you do the Rangers, but then what comes after that? So you do the New York Rangers, but then what comes after that? Because I mean, like I said, I was saying before in the intro, man, you just got back from the ESPYs. You did the Playboy Mansion, which I can't even imagine.
It wasn't the Playboy Mansion. It was the Playboy headquarters. However, it was like, they're massive. Yeah, it is different. I have to say, because there's no grotto, but,
all right. One of your tricks there on Instagram, which people should check out, with Summer Rae, who, if you guys don't know from the WWE, is, I mean, just stunning, like shockingly attractive.
One of the coolest girls I have ever met, and her reaction in that video, I couldn't have paid her to have that kind of reaction. Like, it was something so cool. And then over the course of the 2-3 days that I was out there, we kept running into each other, her friends and everybody like that, because the media team, that I'm working with also represents her. So we started really I'm an old school wrestling fan. I really, you know, actually today, funny enough, I'm a big fan of Shane O'Mac, so today I was actually like, oh, he would be somebody I would love to introduce, you know,
hell
like
yeah.
Shane McMahon, hell yeah, you know,
there's a whole separate story, we can talk about in a later date. I was a pro wrestler about 10 years ago. I went to pro wrestling school, like, there's a whole fucking story there, but we can change that for another date. I'm not a giant, crazy wrestling fan now, but you know what it is? It's funny, because, I'm a fan of carnies. Does that make sense? And that's where professional wrestling came from. Like, I am a fan of running gimmicks. I'm a fan of, you know, I do another radio show that you never know what's real and what's not. Like, that's kind of the fun part.
You need to see David. You need to see David Blaine's new show. That his new
check
show
it out for
is
sure.
Touring. I mean, yeah, it's. I haven't seen it, but the stuff that I hear that he's doing is like that mixture of fucked up freakiness and cool magic. And
yeah,
so,
awesome.
You know,
I love that sort of stuff. But how do you get into something, doing events like the ESPYs and doing the Playboy Mansion? Is it all of a sudden now you've worked yourself up to a point where you have great representation and they help make it happen for you? Or is it?
It's working with entertainment companies for the past 10 years. And that's the secret for in my field. You have to pay your dues. And then this one guy saw me, and he actually saw me one time, and it was just recently. He saw me. He really didn't give me the time of day. And then I saw him at another event like a week later, and he looked at me and was like, and these were high end events. So he was like, okay, this kid's getting around. And I was like, no, you're going to watch. And he did. He's like, I want you in my office. You know, I think we can do something with you. And so some things are great. Like, honestly, he was the one that said, he called me up one day out of the blue. He goes, what are you doing this week? I was like, I might have a show or something. He goes, you want to, you know, he's like, I got an event in Switzerland. You want to go? Like, it's stuff like that. Like,
yes.
Yes. You know, it's taking every opportunity you can, and whether paying or not, and making the best of it. But you know, like I said, you have to know that there is a sense of, listen, it's not, oh, I'm confident. No, there's confidence that you need behind it to know that you are that good and that confident to do it, and I think he sees that. And right now the world of social media I was against for a while. And now over the past maybe 2 months, it's now growing. I went from being,
it's changed the game, you know, everybody.
I went from having 1,000 followers to now 1,700. And it's the same stepping stone. I'm not looking to say, oh, now I'm at 50,000. Now I'm at 100. Everybody that's watching matters to me. And that's actually what's cool.
You should go into it and see who follows you, because you'd be amazed. Like, the people that you don't realize aren't following you. Like, I do it all the time. Look, on Instagram, I have like 4,100, I don't know, whatever it is, 4,000 or something. But then you go back through the cage and just see who follows you. Like, holy shit, wow, it's amazing who's paying attention. It's pretty cool.
That's the funny thing. The people that follow me, the people that I actually know and stuff are some big wigs. Like, I have some, like,
nice.
You know, like, she, like, the WWE girl, she's following me.
Can you help me get her? I'd love to talk to her on this program. Can you get her on for me? Can you help me make that happen? Make the connection, because she's great.
I'll connect you actually to my team, because I think that you have a lot of the potential that they like. Actually, they actually just got one of their clients on, I guess, Celebs Worst Chefs or whatever, that program.
Oh, geez.
So they definitely have connections in all aspects.
I'd love to, man. I just parted ways with my agent actually about a month ago, and I've kind of been flying solo here. I got a lot of things going on this summer, so I was like, I'll just take it slow. Starting tomorrow, no one knows yet. I haven't made the announcement yet. Starting tomorrow, 2 p.m. on Facebook, I am one of the hosts of the new Publishers Clearinghouse talk show. I shot 3 episodes of that not too long ago, and I host it, and I didn't think much of it. But they've been promoting it. Next thing you know, like, the promo video they put out for it, dude, it has like 260,000 views. I'm like, holy shit. Are you kidding me? And it's amazing the things that take off that you don't expect to. But we should definitely talk offline about that.
Now, let's because like you said, we're kind of running with things, let's go to the next step. So right now you have the lollipop, the can, and the Sharpie.
In the order that they were in, I have the Sharpie, the lollipop, and the beer can. That's what's left here. Just so you guys don't know, just so everybody knows too, you got to make sure you follow at Modern Mentalist on Instagram. That's where you find Kevin at. And the guy's awesome. And obviously, clearly, he and I could talk for 4.5 hours. And just, I look forward to having you in Montauk next time. I'll buy you a drink and we'll just fucking sit down and have a great time, man. Because you're a great guy. You're a great dude. And, you know, I subscribe very heartily to the theory that everybody in this world wants a piece of the pie. I think if we all work together and just make a bigger pie all together, we can all get a piece. I think that you're probably on that same run of thinking than I'm
honestly,
with.
I was for a little while, I was like, you know, I used to get very upset at people that were like, we're getting really successful.
Dude.
And I was like, why am I not? And now I want my friends to get so successful. I look at them, I'm like, for things that like, guys that I respected years ago, because I came up on it. My business is a tier system like anything else. And I'm now on that top tier with these, but I'm the young guy on the top tier. But these guys that I respect are now calling me. They're like, yo, I can't do this show. You know, can you make it? Or can you do that? And I'm like, 5 years ago, this guy probably might have never even answered the phone for me. Maybe like, you know, a Facebook thing and said like, hey, I'm a big fan. Oh, thank you. Are now coming out and vice versa. And they know, and they know that when I recommend something, they know it's not like some small little gig. I've put people in contact to go like travel, like, hey, get connected with this guy. You know, I can't do it. It's not, I started caring more about the experience and the adventure that I get to do. Like when I go to Switzerland and stuff like that, like when I got to do that, I was like, they were like, you know, what do you want to make? I'm like, just get me there. You know, obviously I got paid, but like at that time I would have done that shit for free. You know, it's like,
I mean, so listen, what I'm hosting now, has taken off and it's doing amazing. And you don't have to pay me. I'll do it. But obviously I'm getting paid for it, but I'm not getting paid a lot, but I'm getting paid for it.
And
but it's just fun to be
you
doing.
Know what? And that's why you need, and that's why, you know, I learned, that's why I realized I needed a manager. That's why I realized I needed an agent, because we would do what we do for free. It's not up to us.
I love it.
That's why they were, and that's when, you know, the guy that's kind of helping me out in the media world is like, your job is the talent. Let me handle, because it's much tougher to negotiate than to do what you do when you're not used to doing that. And I went,
sure,
great.
100%.
You know, I know what you're making. You know what I'm making. You're getting me my fees. Let's do it. You know, like.
And I agree. Like having someone who does that, it's a helpful thing. Like, I want them to make money. I want that to be a great job for them where they can make money. I don't care about that. You know, make money off me, please.
So for anyone that's coming up in any field, understand that if somebody is looking, you know, not everybody's there to fuck you over too. Understand that too.
True.
Not everybody is looking to fuck you over. You know, I was.
True.
First, all
right, we got 14 hesitant. Minutes. I got 14 minutes on the timer here. I'm like, no, it's cool. It's I just looked up at it. I was like, oh shit. All right, so here we go. I got a marker, a Sharpie marker, a lollipop, and a beer can.
Okay. So remember I said to you, I'm going to ask you two questions. One question already is done, right? One question is already out. I'm now left with those. I want you to put your hand on the last two objects.
The last two objects. Okay, done. It's two hands. Is that okay?
Yep. What are the objects?
The beer can and the lollipop.
Great. Push them forward.
That fuck up the gimmick or no?
No. Go on.
All right. Well,
because look, I said to you, remember what I said to you.
Shut the fuck up. Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. I got to go to your, all right, just say the gimmick. I'm going to go to your Instagram. Get out.
Go to my Instagram.
Hold on. I'm loading it right now. Here we go. Shut up. What the fuck? If you go to the Instagram page, Modern Mentalist, you can see he has the Sharpie marker. What the fuck? That's hysterical.
You should have kept the Sharpie, man.
That's amazing. I did keep the Sharpie. That's what I still have. What the fuck? Wow. And so I don't know, you can't give away the thing, and I'll never ever ask you to do that, but does it have to do with the order they were in, or is it
no I mean look at the time that I sent that, you know.
Yeah, you posted that was two hours ago.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy, dude. Stop it. Wow. I feel like I should go to bed tonight like this. Crazy, like, fucking shit going on in my house. What the fuck? Dude, that was insane. I love it. I mean, it's got to be a kind of, I mean, so it was five items. So it was a 20% chance on each one.
right?
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out in my head. I don't know. Listen, tell me one thing here before we go. That was amazing. Oh, great job with that. That was fucking crazy, dude. It's going to be funny to see how that grows as people download the podcast and whatnot. But tell me, if I'm watching someone who's doing magic, street magic, illusions, things like that, what's a telltale sign that this person is new and isn't very good? That's what's the first thing you would look for? Like for me, when I'm cooking, if I'm watching someone who doesn't season their food, I know they don't know what the fuck they're doing. So like for you, what would be something that you would say is like, okay, this guy, you can look at him and see without, you're not gonna throw anybody in the bus here or anything, but like, what's one thing you would look at immediately and go, inexperience?
It comes down to, I think it comes down to almost hand positioning, like the deck of cards in my hands are second nature. It's just another hand to me. It's like having a knife in your hand. You know, you can chop without looking. It's the same thing for us. If you see a guy that's, you know, kind of like, you know, a little more fumbly, and it doesn't, now there are guys that like do that and it's just like, is their persona? And, you know, but most of the time you can kind of look and go, oh, the guy probably just knows a couple of tricks, or the guy's maybe just a hobbyist, which is the sick fucking part is that some of the hobbyists are 10 times, if not 100 times better than me, technically.
No way.
Like guys that right now I'm seeing on Instagram, and you can't listen. At the end of the day, there are two types of magicians. There are workers and there are creators. Some are both. But most of the workers, the guys like me, I'm not always creating my own tricks, like my own thing. But there are guys there that are like, you know, this is what they do. They play with the deck of cards every 30 seconds. You know, they're driving and they're playing with a freaking deck of cards. Like they are.
I'm never. Oh, I lost you.
You know.
Dude. It's so fucking cool, man. I have mad respect for what you do, and I think that the hustle is kind of what makes people like you and people like me get along in the world. And we lost him. We lost Kevin there, but I tell you what, man, what a great, I don't know, he said it's okay to call it a trick. That trick was sick. He was holding up the fucking Sharpie marker on Instagram. Just crazy, man. I've never seen. It's just crazy when something like that happens. I got you back, bro. We lost you for a second there. We got you.
Gotcha. We're good. So, yeah. So, I mean, take a look. Now, do we have any time left for that crazy story I was telling you?
All right. I got about 5 minutes of it. Like, give me that story. So it's a great story.
All right. Okay. So the craziest story ever I had. I was in LA and I meet this one guy, and he. Actually, funny enough, he threw a party at this crazy mansion in the Hollywood Hills. But we met in the thing, you know, and he's like, I am a prince. And I'm like, well, that's cool. Like, you know, I was like, you know, I'm like, oh, good money. You know, crazy. You know, hire me. You know, you're probably famous in some sort.
Sure.
So I ended up doing a couple of events for him over the course of like 2 years. And he lived in Texas. And I get it. So I do these events. So he did bring me out for numerous events. And I get a phone call, and he calls me up and goes, Mr. Nicholas, I want you to come to Tahiti with me to entertain this family. They have a yacht. And
excellent.
I'm like, dope. Yeah. Right. So I'm like, okay. He's like, but I want you to come in, but you're not technically performing, you're coming in as like my assistant type person. I was like, I don't give a shit, you know, what the hell, you know, to a certain degree, but like, I was like, you know, I'll be almost anything, you know, but like, whoa, I'll scrub the fucking floor, so I don't care. Long story short, I get to know this family over the course of 3 weeks. Now remember, I'm doing card tricks and I'm sailing around the South Pacific on this literally multi tens of million dollar yacht. And like, I'm snorkeling, I'm living like at that time, Facebook was strong. I'm showing all my friends. I'm like, how's your 9-to-5 guys? You know, like these card tricks finally paid off. Anyway, we come back and all of a sudden like conversations stop with, with him. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, maybe he's traveling, whatever, but, you know, email or anything. And I get this email saying that the sky is going down and whatever. And, you know, I hope you're not a part of it. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And
right.
I looked online and they said that he might have been a full out scam artist, like not a real print.
Fuck.
So I'm like, I'm a magician. Like at that time I was living at home with my mom. I'm like, trust me, no money came to me. You know, like I didn't get anything out of this. You know, I got a trip, but like, you know, not like nobody like swindled anything to me. And, but just so happened that, you know, the family that owned the yacht and are still now friends of mine, I'm actually doing, and I've done shows for over the past like 5 or 6 years. And
it created,
so this scam artist, potential scam artist prince guy led me to this family who flies me out all over the world to do shows. But it's just one of the stories to just go like, you can't even make that. It's like, you know, it's like one of those TV shows that like, you know, whatever the fraud shows, it's like, that doesn't exist. And, you know, it might have been.
Crazy.
So yeah, that one actually, I always say, you can't even write that. Like, you couldn't ask me 100 times to make up a crazy story like that. So,
dude,
yeah,
that's insane, man.
Oh yeah, when I did the shows where he's from, it was like the National Ballet. You know, it was like these crazy events that he had, like these very the. It was Houston, Texas. Like, you know, this guy was around Houston, Texas. Like the people that were in these, you know, big oil guys, like were he friended. And if it's and if it was true, I never found out. Like, you know, who the hell knows? But it was just crazy. I was like, okay, you know. Thankfully, you know, they realized, like, oh, I'm actually a good person. But, you know, just to be affiliated with him, it was a little scary at the time.
Still pretty awesome, though, man.
My thing for anyone just...
Did we find out is the guy, he was a complete hoax, right?
No, never found out. We don't even know.
Shit.
Me and the family talk about it to this day. We're like, maybe wasn't, you know, it's like, but you never know. My story goes very simple. You never know who you're going to talk to. Say hello. For all the parents that used to say, don't talk to strangers, you know, maybe when you're, you know, 12, you know, 12, 13, you know, young. Okay. I get that, but are capable of saying hi to anybody. And it's not just magic tricks. It's just being able to talk to people. You never know who's coming into your life. And I've literally got my friends, some of their careers, because I met a guy and I was like, you know what? I have a friend that might be perfect for you, you know, and this,
yeah.
And it's just being a great connector. And I think connect with people real, not just on the world of social media. And that is my thing. It's like, start meeting people, you know, people want to know how I get my shows. I don't wait for them. I go out to the hottest. I just came back from LA. When I was in LA, I performed for Larry David. You know, that's like TV gold.
That's awesome.
I performed for Penelope
Fuck
Cruz.
Yeah. Dude,
and you know, and these were at restaurants. And I created these moments. Now, granted, I'm a magician. Like that's my, you know, in a sense, my gimmick. But my friend. I'll leave with this. My friend Nick Onken, who's a phenomenal photographer, he photographed for Justin Bieber and a whole bunch. His hashtag is create your moments. You are the one to create your moments and do that.
Love it.
And then you see where your life is going, man. It's exciting. And that's what led us to this situation right here.
We're here right now talking. That's what exactly what it is, dude. You're right. You guys got to make sure you check out Kevin. He's a great guy and an amazingly talented guy. Follow him at Modern Mentalist on Instagram. I just had a friend of mine, also my listening, send me a picture of a giant shark your dad caught 20 miles off Montauk. It makes me feel great about getting in the water.
Oh, the fucking great white.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great news. Make sure you follow there. Dude, look, if you got 2 seconds, man, you have an iPhone, right? Download Station Head on the iPhone and jump on there with us. We're going to do an after show there. If you want to download it, come on. Use the invite code Chef Plum. All right. That's for Kevin and, of course, for anybody else. The app is called Station Head. Station Head. I'll text it to you so you have it.
Yeah,
Station Head. Download that shit. We'll do an after show. They're yelling at me if I'm coming on here. The timer's got me at 2 minutes right now. So, dude, I could talk to you again. We're going to have you on again and have you on. We do some panel shows.
We got at first, I was like,
we just keep going. I told you it goes quickly. We've already gone longer than I told you. It's amazing. We just keep talking. I love the stories, and it's great, man. Like right now, the counter is at a minute 38 right now. So, bro, I thank you very, very much for your time. I know you're a very busy guy, and into what you do. I appreciate it, man, and look forward to hanging out with you in the future for sure.
Shafun, thank you so much, buddy. I appreciate it, and I'll see you in a couple minutes on the app. I'll definitely be
there. You go, man. I'll text you. Station Head. It's going to ask you for an invite code because it's still in beta. Okay. The invite code is Chef Plum. All right.
Dope.
All right. There it is. There he goes right there, you guys. Make sure you follow my man, Kevin Nicholas, the modern mentalist. What a great dude. We'll see him later.
All right. Buddy.
In the
Take
future.
Care.
See you, buddy. There he goes down the road. I appreciate you guys taking time tonight to check out the program, listen live. And of course, if you're checking us out on iTunes and everything else, you know what to do. Rate, review, and subscribe. Ladies and gentlemen, please remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Make sure you give it the time it deserves. I'll see you guys next week right here on Plum Love Foods Live. Peace!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I pray.